Coming to you from the heart of the Rockies in Salida, Colorado, it's the Badfish SUP Journal. Hello, friends. It's Mike Harvey, co-founder of Badfish SUP, back with another episode of the Badfish SUP Journal podcast. Hope you guys are having a good fall. Hopefully where you are, there's still some paddling to be had. I've sort of wound down my paddling season into some other things right now, but definitely enjoying that fine fall weather. You know, with what's been a fairly challenging year for all of us and a year where pretty much everybody's movements have been restricted to something closer to home, I thought today that we would do an episode with a guy that's been all over the world paddling and daydream a little bit about some fantastic paddling destinations. So for today's episode, we're going to have Dan Gevere, one of the most influential paddlers of the last 30 years in the U.S. and really the world, come on and tell us about his top five paddling destinations. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Thank you for joining again. Thanks for your feedback. I want to remind you that if you can, to rate and review the podcast on wherever you're listening to it. And also, feel free to send in comments or questions or ideas for future episodes to info@badfishsup.com. I'd love to hear from you. So without any further ado, let's get into an interview with Dan Gevere. Dan Gevere is originally from Salt Lake City, Utah, and became a professional whitewater kayaker in the 1990s. Dan was one of the first professional whitewater kayakers who really ushered in what I would call the modern era of whitewater kayaking. He starred in influential films like Paddle Quest, which allowed young whitewater kayakers like myself to dream of exotic destinations and going off big waterfalls and running big rapids and surfing big waves. He was also one of the first whitewater kayaking athletes to really jump into SUP in the mid-2000s. And when he did, his athletic talents transferred quickly. His background in board sports and his whitewater kayaking experience made him one of the best whitewater stand-up paddlers anywhere in the world right away, as well as being a very accomplished racer and surfer in the ocean. Dan's an event director. He puts on the GoPro Mountain Games SUP events every summer in Vail, Colorado. He's announced events all over the world. He's also worked in sales in the stand-up paddling industry, including his current role as sales manager for Fanatic SUP. Dan now calls Hood River, Oregon and Ottawa, Ontario, where his wife runs a stand-up paddling business home. And when I thought of that it would be fun to talk about paddling destinations all over the world, I immediately thought of Dan. Very few people have been to as many places and paddled as many places as Dan Gevere. So I thought it'd be fun for him to count down with us his top five paddling destinations so that we can all dream of a day, hopefully very soon, when we can travel around the world and go paddling and experience new places via paddle sports. So here comes Dan Gevere's top five paddling destinations. Dan, how's it going, man?
I'm awesome, Mike. Thanks for the call. Super stoked to get on the horn with you. It's been a while since we talked, but been a pretty fun summer, actually.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for making the time. And in a normal summer, we would definitely cross paths several times in the month of June at some of the whitewater events and travel when you're traveling around, but not this year, huh?
Yeah, we got shut down a little bit. I am really missing the whole Colorado tour and going to all the different types of events and races and the mountain games. And I miss all that stuff, but with it, there's quite a few silver linings. So it's actually been a pretty fun summer and albeit all the state of the, world today and everything with this pandemic and everything, I feel pretty fortunate.
No doubt. That's the only way you can look at it. So where do we find you right now? Where are you posted up?
I'm actually up in Eastern Canada, in Ontario, in Ottawa, hanging out here, working remotely with Fanatic SUP and Duotone foil wing products and helping out my wife's company, Urban Ocean SUP, a little bit. Just kind of, you know, I'm kind of the trailer boy and the board schlepper. And
you got some experience with that.
Actually quite a few. Yeah, I do. You know, I'm pretty good with strap. But yeah, I've had actually quite a few opportunities to get out several times a week and paddle and see some new places and get on my race board and try to stay in shape. Not too many Tim Hortons donuts. So yeah,
it's going pretty good. Those are tough to avoid when you're up there. they're everywhere.
They are.
So give everybody a quick explanation of why you're in Canada. Cause I know in general, Americans like us are not welcome right now. So just give them a quick background on why you're up there.
Well, my wife is Canadian and, she's up here. She runs her own business up here and, I'm able to work remotely. So, there's a mandatory 14-day, quarantine. And so we did that in June and, I've had a pretty stable, you know, connection with, my work and stuff like that. So I'm able to work remotely, which I'm very thankful for and be with my wife. So that's the important part of life and enjoying the time to be with my family and also be in a beautiful place up here in Ontario. So it's been a really nice summer and, you know, Ottawa is just, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in a bit, but, you know, it's surrounded by rivers. So it's, another place that I really enjoy, coming back to. I spent a lot of time here in the late 90s and early 2000s when I was actually training for the world championships on the Ottawa River, you know, in the Whitewater region. So, it's pretty fun to be back.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, then I'll save all my questions about Ottawa. But yeah, the reason we had Dan on today, or the why I wanted to have Dan on today, is I've known Dan a long time. He was definitely one of my early paddling heroes in when I was coming up in whitewater kayaking in the early to mid 1990s. And over the years, Dan has you've paddled all over the place. You've put on events in a lot of different places. Your work in the paddle sports industry, both from whitewater kayaking all the way through stand-up paddling and some of the wind sports, has taken you all over the place. And so I thought, you know, when I was thinking to myself, if I wanted to just go on a paddling trip, who would I call for advice? It's like Dan Gevier was top of the list. So what we're going to do today is do a countdown of Dan Gevier's top five paddling destinations. I laid out no ground rules, this is not like, he's not politicking for anyone here. These are just Dan's favorite places that he's been, top five destinations for paddling. So Dan, what is your number five destination?
I would say my number five destination. Well, and you know, this was really hard to just keep it to five.
Yeah, no doubt.
Go all over the place. And, you know, there's a couple real obvious ones that I'm not even going to talk about because you live in one of them. I live in the other one, and that's part of me really making my passion into my life. Two places that I'm going to leave off the list are Hood River and Colorado, but those are automatically on the list, so I just want to put that out as a caveat. As far as traveling, I would say where I am right now is my number five, and that would be in the Ottawa region, basically eastern Ontario. It's surrounded by rivers. You've got the Ottawa, the Mississippi, and the Gatineau all come together in the town of, or in the big city of Ottawa. It's almost 1 million people. And then just to the west of us, you've got the infamous Whitewater region, which was where I trained for the world championships. What was that? 99 maybe. So I spent a lot of time, you know, playing at, famous rapids like McCoy's, Black Chute, which everyone knows as Garburator. You know, it's just an amazing river. And for a lot of professional kayakers, it was like our fall destination. We go to the Ottawa, we know it's big, warm water in the fall. And then straight from there, you boom, head down south and hit the dolly season back in my kayaking days. And since getting into stand-up, you know, there's just so many options now that I really enjoy flat water and beautiful places to paddle. You know, Ottawa just has hundreds of different launch locations for stand-up paddling.
Wow. And so when you... The different rivers you named, and by the way, it's not that Mississippi River, right? We just want to make sure people are clear. That one doesn't twist around and go up. And, but these rivers, when you in Ottawa, we're talking about really they're big, almost flat water, like bodies of water, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the Ottawa is the most notable. It goes right through, you know, the nation's capital. With Parliament, you know, it's built right on the hill above the Ottawa River. And there's actually some rapids in town. Mm. And there's a couple of standing waves. There's one called Desert Wave, which is in right now. Anytime during the day, you can drive down there and usually see a couple surfers out there getting a little session in. Probably not much unlike some of the smaller waves that you find you know, on the Arkansas right there in Fibark, you know, so even though it's a bigger river, there's a couple of constrictions and places right now at the low water where there's a couple of really fun standing waves. One of the other cool things about Ottawa is it's pretty close to Montreal, which has obviously the Vachines Rapids, which has some of the world's best standing waves.
Oh, Lachine is fun. Paradise. Yeah, that's a pretty amazing spot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can get there in 2 hours. So
wow.
So it's pretty convenient that way as well. So it's a pretty awesome region, and it's also the capital of Canada. And canoeing and kayaking is really a lifestyle in Canada. It's almost like outrigger paddling in Hawaii. It really is a lot of people here, you know, growing up, they'll learn how to paddle a canoe. So it's natural that stand-up paddling is popular here. People already know how to canoe. They see stand-up paddle. It's a single blade. It's easy transition for them.
That's very cool.
So it's a pretty fun city. You know, you get, as an American, you get a lot for your dollar right now. If you could get up here,
right.
If you can't, but you can, it's a beautiful place to come and visit. I recommend any paddler come to Ottawa and check it out and do a tour downtown. Go check out the Whitewater region. And really check it out. It's super beautiful right now. All the leaves are changing and it's still warm. You know, the highs are in the mid-20s and so in Fahrenheit, you know, you're looking at like mid-70s, perfect weather. And it's just a really nice community of people here. Everyone's super friendly and it's just easy. Everyone speaks English, you know, it's super easy.
Awesome, man. As soon as they will let me across the border, that's on my list. And so in the Ottawa River, I'm coming through Ottawa a little lower, but up high on the Ottawa River where the Whitewater is, where you were talking about training for the World Championships, that's obviously just a world-class whitewater kayaking destination. And I've often, you know, fantasized about going there with a stand-up paddleboard and some surfboards because there's so many different waves and wave holes and features that are famous, as you mentioned a few, for kayaking. Is that type of, is whitewater SUP kind of catching on up there, or is it not quite a thing yet on the Ottawa River?
You know, it's not quite a thing yet because, I think one of the challenges is the access. It's there's not a lot of park and play. So the rapids are pretty big. Like they're almost like big but like deep and easy. So for like more intermediate advanced paddlers, no big deal. You're gonna fall off in like a lot of the rapids.
Sure.
But it's like super chill. Like you're not gonna get smashed on rocks. There's not like, you know, man-eating holes. It's pretty chill and it's super rewarding when you do make it through because it's big water,
right?
And to have that like big warm water is just, it's so unique because I grew up in the West in the Rockies where big water meant cold water.
Sure.
So big the warm water is just, it's so much fun because you just, you can, you don't have to dress too warm and you get all the power of the big water and the, it's so much more rewarding for me to paddle through big water rapids on a sup than it is, say, like creek style rapids on a sup, which is also rewarding. Like, I love like charging the numbers or whatever, but getting through like big class three with like huge waves, it's pretty challenging on a sup.
It really is.
And just the feeling you get crossing those big eddy lines and getting like ferrying out into the main flow above like McCoy's and stuff like that, like you're committed. Like there's no like sneaking anything. Like you're committed to your line, and like you can't just like, you know, scamper back to shore and find a last minute micro eddy to just give it one last look. It's like, okay, I got to be very like set in my intentions on where I'm running this rapid and the angle of my board and not falling before, you know, the crux of the rapid. So right, at least I can, you know, challenge myself in the hardest part of the rapid. But yeah, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. And, you know, it's still pretty cool to see. There's just like such an active whitewater community here of kayakers that when they see SUP paddlers, like, just attempting it, they're so stoked.
Right. I mean,
Canadians are so stoked in general.
They really are.
They get like double extra stoked when they see someone, you know, trying to stand up down through the whitewater on the Ottawa. So it's still not a common occurrence. I don't know if it's the seasonality of it or whatever, but I mean, the flat water, paddling here and stuff like that is huge. I mean, there's all kinds of races, and, Toronto, which isn't too far away, has a really active, flat water and racing scene. And on top of that, there's a pretty active kiteboarding and kind of windsurfing scene here as well, with a couple really good spots to launch if you want to play in the wind. And that's on the Quebec side of the Ottawa River. So you've got like the Ontario side on one side of the Ottawa, and then you've got Quebec on the other side. So you literally can like paddle from English speaking Ontario over to Quebec, where everyone's speaking French, and it's pretty interesting.
Get some poutine mix and come back across.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So it's cool.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
There's a lot of culture in Ottawa. You see people from all walks of life, and lots of people trying stand up paddling and water sports that you might not see in other places. So I enjoy that.
Awesome. All right. Number five was Ottawa. Ottawa is the name of the city, right? It's not Ottawa City. It's just Ottawa.
It's just Ottawa.
Ottawa,
yep.
Ontario, yeah, Canada.
Nation's capital. Yep.
Awesome. All right.
The,
so what?
Also, the location. The biggest party in Canada on July 1st.
Okay.
There will literally be like 500,000 people partying in the street.
Is there a particular event they're celebrating, or?
That would be Canada Day.
That's. Man, ignorant American. Like, that's Canada Day.
It's kind of,
of course
it's
it is.
Like our 4th of July,
right?
But it's just on the 1st of July.
Right.
But they take the party to a whole nother level.
Man, that is awesome. I really would love to see Canada Day next July, because it would mean I could go there. So what's your number 4 destination, Dan?
I think number four was a toss-up, because I had to include a couple ocean locations. I didn't want it to just be all very whitewater-esque.
Absolutely.
Because I really enjoy surfing. I really enjoy the ocean. And number 4 is Santa Cruz, California.
Legendary spot.
It is. And I really love it there. I love, you know, the steamer lane, super fun, surfing out at middles, especially on bigger days. Cowles has one of the best, you know, long waves that I've ever been to. Since I started hydrofoiling, I had had a chance to go to Santa Cruz a few times, and you know, I picked the stormier, smaller days when there's not going to be a lot of people in the water, absolutely, for foiling, especially if I'm going anywhere near the lane.
Sure.
Which is actually a pretty difficult place to hydrofoil anyways because of all the kelp. But up north, there's some just amazing spots where you can kind of paddle around and find your own break. And that's what I like about Santa Cruz. Like, you can go south of town, down near Capitola, and kind of find some of your own breaks down that way. You can go north of town. I've had some amazing foil sessions at Greyhound Rock. You're never going to find any surfers there because there's, I think there's a lot of shark sightings there. But,
right, little sharky.
That doesn't really bother me too much. But just north of there, you've got Davenport. Just north of there, you've got Scott's Creek, Waddell. Waddell, you know, certainly a world-renowned kite surfing location. So I've also had some incredible SUP surf sessions there. So, yeah, all around there is amazing. I really love the vibe in Santa Cruz, too, and how everything's kind of close in. It's kind of got all the creature comforts. And just north of town, you can kind of car camp if you want and do the van life thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's definitely my number four.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Santa Cruz, of course, one of the really legendary paddle festivals there in the springtime that adopted SUP really quickly. It started as a surf kayak event, didn't it? The Santa Cruz, is it called the Paddle Fest?
Yeah, it was Santa Cruz Paddle Festival, and it used to be called the Santa Cruz Surf Kayak Festival. I first attended that festival in 1996, I believe,
wow.
Or 95. And, you know, we were out there in our play boats, in some pretty heavy surf. And, yeah, it was awesome. It was actually one of the first times I really was like, oh, these are like legit waves and I'm in a competition. This is pretty amazing. So, having the opportunity to, surf the lane with just four other guys in your heat is well worth the price of admission.
No doubt.
Now that SUP came around, they've added the race element to it. And the race there is super fun as well. I mean, talk about, you know, challenging ocean conditions that really, you know, separates the, you know, the amateurs from the more experienced paddlers and those types of mixed up conditions.
Right.
That Santa Cruz Surf Festival race is definitely one of them.
Well, and you being a regular footer, Santa Cruz is perfect, huh? Everything's right there.
Yeah. Like cowls, like, for sure. I've had one of my longest surfs of my whole life from middles all the way through cowls all the way to the pier, literally like a quarter mile, maybe even a little farther than a quarter mile surf on, you know, on a pretty, pretty big day. I think it was probably like 18 feet at 20 seconds or something. So, when it gets that big, I've also broken a couple boards in half, just got hit by the lip. I had a brand new custom built surfboard that I took out the day before the Santa Cruz surf comp, and I hadn't even caught a wave on it, and I took a huge set on the head. Ugh. And it broke my brand new board in half. I never even surfed it.
Oh,
so yeah, it was. I've had some moments there. Some of them have been heartbreaking. That was one of them.
Sure. And, well, you can have, you know, like, just so people know, you know, the thing with Santa Cruz is, you know, you can have just really nice, mellow 3-4 foot. Surf there, and as Dan's alluding to, there's just tons of different spots. And what makes a paddleboard, you know, you talked about it, and the times I've surfed there, I feel the same way. Is it makes a paddleboard such a great tool there? Is you can kind of, if you like paddling, which you know, if you're paddleboarding, presumably you do, you just go outside and start paddling up and down the coast, and you can pick off little breaks that aren't necessarily the main spots that are very crowded with surfers, and just kind of have like a cool experience paddling down the coast and then coming in and picking off waves and coming out back out and paddling. And I think that SUP is a good tool for that kind of place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would just send out a word of wisdom too. If it is a really good day there and there are a lot of shortboarders in the water,
yeah,
you're best to adventure north or adventure south and avoid the crowded spots with the shortboarders, because they have a reputation for being quite assertive and territorial.
Yeah, I have not found it to be the most welcoming place at all times, but you can have fun. And like you say, if it's a big day and that's not what you're there for, then just, you know, go figure something else out, go somewhere else. Cause, those, you know, a lot of those guys are, you know, the locals are waiting for those big swells and you know, it's best not to get in their way on those days.
Yeah. You're not going to outsurf anybody in Santa Cruz.
Like, No.
They'll be like 7-year-olds like airing over you before you even thought about
that's right.
getting on. Like, yeah, it'd be nuts.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you like mountain biking, you want an alternate activity or whale watching. I mean, the mountain biking is stupendous. In the winter, the fall and winter, you get to see quite a few migrating whales. And, you know, you can go to Moss Landing if you ever get a chance, go to and paddle the Elkhorn Slough, where you're going to see like hundreds and hundreds of otters and seals and maybe even some dolphins. That's actually a really special place too, Elkhorn Slough.
Oh, that's
down
cool.
By Moss Landing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really, really fun flatwater paddle, or, you know, if you want to go and check out some wildlife, that's definitely a spot.
Awesome. All right. Great, man. Santa Cruz, California. How about, number three, Dan Gevier, top five paddling destinations?
Number three, I'm going to have to say Lockshaw River, Idaho. Actually, I'm just going to say Missoula, Montana. It's where I went to college. I started a little snowboard shop there called Board of Missoula, which,
right.
They had their 30th year anniversary last year. I went back and took a couple runs and hung out with Chris Bacon and the boys that run the shop now, in honor of my late partner Zach Spanigal, who I started the shop with back in 1988.
Wow.
I moved there to go to college.
Awesome.
And it was the very first snowboard shop in Montana, so it's pretty cool. That legend still is living on, so I'm pretty proud of that. Bacon and his whole crew there at Board of Missoula. Make sure you go on Instagram and give them a like, get some stickers. And,
awesome.
You know, that was where I really learned how to kayak well, was in Missoula, Montana, because of the Alberton Gorge on the Clark's Fork of the Columbia. Another awesome town built on the banks of a beautiful river. So, you know, it's an amazing sup paddle if you like whitewater sup. There's tons of flat water around there on the Clark Fork of the Columbia. Then you also have the Blackfoot River, which is really close, and the Bitterroot, which takes you through the Bitterroot Valley, which has some of the best fishing in the world.
In the world.
And then
epic fishing. Yeah.
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 Epic fishing.
Yeah. I'll just put a plug in for the fishing for, you know, for those people that like, and I haven't been up there with a paddleboard to access it that way yet, but that's on the list for me, because I think those rivers would be almost ideal for SUP fishing, because there's not a lot of freestone boulders in the way. You could sort of cruise a lot of those and spend time casting and looking for the fish. And the average trout that, you know, the guys that are locals up there just kind of shake off the line quickly and get back to it is like, you know, the fish we're all getting like grip and grin Instagram shots for down here in Colorado. So yeah, really epic fishing around Missoula.
Yeah. Rock Creek is probably one of the better known spots there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I was there for, you know, I tried to cram, you know, 4 years of college into 8 years while I was there while running the shop. And, I mean, kayaking really consumed my life and snowboarding. And so that was really where I went from kind of the the weekend warrior to a professional kayaker and ended up selling the shop to kind of pursue my kayak dreams in 96. But, very close by is the Locksaw River. It's about 80 miles. You just drive up into Idaho over the pass there, and you're on one of the most beautiful rivers that I've ever seen. And another one of my, for sure, top three rivers overall that I've paddled in my life. And, it's become very well known for a standing wave there called Pipeline, which has been pretty well published over the last 5 or 6 years. The kayakers have been playing there for 30 years, but, over just like the last probably decade, the real river surf scene has grown, and Pipeline has become kind of a iconic image that a lot of people have seen in the river surf world. And it's not to mention just that wave, but the whole Locksaw River is just a piece of paradise. Talk about being close to nature, being out camping. There's no internet back there. There's very little phone service. And that's when you just basically turn your phone off. You go over there for the weekend and you camp and you paddle and you have some beers by the fire with your buddies. If you're lucky, you hike into some hot springs. And it really is a beautiful place. So I'm definitely going to say Missoula, Montana, with that access to basically the Locksaw, and then you drive down and you've got the clear water, and there's actually quite a bit more white water as you head down the road.
Yeah,
all the way towards Boise, just basically following the most epic white water rivers from the Locksaw to the Clearwater to the Salmon. And all of those rivers have legendary sections of just super fun Class 2, Class 3 whitewater that really take my breath away when I'm out there, whether I'm stand-up paddling or kayaking. I mean, they're just amazing.
Yeah, that Missoula is a pretty epic destination. And of course, you've got Brennan's Wave, which is a artificial whitewater drop right in downtown. And there's quite a vibrant river surfing scene around Brennan's Wave. And then Alberton Gorge on the Clark Fork, that's downstream of town, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. About 60 miles downstream of town. So, I hadn't even mentioned Brennan's Wave. Who was a really good personal friend of mine. I actually paddled in Chile quite a bit with Brennan, so it's really cool to see a wave named in his honor. And then you go north and you've got, the Flathead, you've got stuff up by Glacier National Park, stuff around Kalispell, and even the Big Fork River has some pretty neat little sections in it that I think you could play around with on a sub. I don't know about the Wild Mile, but
right.
Maybe someone's tried it.
Yeah, well, I think even just the, as you talked about at the beginning, some of the really just fun, mellow paddling around Missoula on the Clark Fork and on the Bitterroot and Blackfoot is outstanding. Just scenic value, natural values, and so yeah, can't argue with Missoula at all. All right, we're getting to the top two spots here on Dan Gevier's top paddling destination list. How about number two, Dan?
Number two, I'm gonna go with another surfing location. This one's on the East Coast, and this one I've spent a lot of time at, especially since I started getting into the stand-up paddling scene, because I started traveling to Surf Expo, which is in Orlando, super cheap place to fly into. And then it was like, well, we need to go surfing. There's a hurricane swell hitting. They're like, dude, you could be at Cocoa Beach in 45 minutes from the trade show.
Nice.
And we were literally getting up at 5 in the morning and driving and getting a 2-hour surf in, and then being back at the trade show hall, unloading containers, putting the boards in the booth by like 9 a.m. and setting that stuff up and having meetings for the Surf Expo shows that we used to go to quite a bit. And so I'm going to say Cocoa Beach is my number two spot. And, you know, the thing that really is awesome about that is the fact that you've got the intercoastal waterway, and then you've got access to the beach straight to the Atlantic Ocean. So whether you want to paddle flat water and just go, like, you know, cruise around, do some, you know, fishing or check out the wildlife, you're going to see manatees. You're going to see dolphins almost every time you go out, which is always a special experience. And then when they do get good waves, the surfing there can be absolutely amazing. For, like, you know, beach break that just goes on and on and on, you can always find your own little right, your own little left. And the beaches there are super clean. They do a really good job there. It's just a nice spot, you know, and it's still a little bit of a kind of a throwback to the 70s. Every time I drive in there, I get that I dream a genie vibe, right? You know, and that kind of old school surfer dude riding down the street on, like, a rusted out cruiser bike, right, with long hair and no shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, yeah.
It's still got that cool vibe, you know, to it. And I've got some good friends there. You know, I met my wife there. I've spent just a lot of time there in the ocean. And yeah, I just love it. I just think it's a special place. And I'm actually hoping to get back there this winter and spend a little time there catching some waves and maybe even doing some foil boarding and some wing foiling there. I think it'd be really fun.
Well, I'm super relieved that you had a warm water spot on the list. Cause, although I know the Yada was quite warm in the summertime and fall, but, yeah, Cocoa Beach, of course, the birthplace of Kelly Slater and, Ron John's Surf Shop, right, is like the legendary, was it founded in Cocoa Beach? I believe it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Slater's from there. Yep. Ron John's still there. Open 24/7, 365.
That's right. Come get your t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of turned into a bit of a t-shirt shop, but there's some great people there, and just the vibe there is super laid back. And it's a bit of an anomaly from, you know, what you think about Florida. Brevard County, it's a pretty chill spot. It's like discovering, like, a little town in Hawaii in Florida. It's pretty cool. I like the vibe there.
That's
it's
awesome.
A small town vibe, and it's cool.
That's awesome. That's a good endorsement right there. All right, man. I'm absolutely quivering with anticipation for your number one paddling destination.
I think for me, this one had to be at the top of the list, since pretty much all my other ones were kind of North American based, and I have done a lot of travel internationally. So this was a place that I'd seen pictures of, and I kind of dreamed about going in my kayak. Never quite got there, but about 4 years ago, I was able to get there for a stand-up paddle little adventure. And it's called Bovec, Slovenia, and it is right on the banks of the Socha River.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful river, crystal clear. This particular little town called Bovec, we stayed at a camp called Kayak Camp Tony, and it's right where the Koritnica River meets the Socha River. And we were able to paddle a super beautiful little class 3, maybe a little bit of 4 on it, section of the Koritnica, which goes right down to the camp and also where it confluences with the Socha. And then there's like 8 or 9 different awesome sections of the Socha River you can paddle from there on down. There's a bunch of sections, and from there up, it starts to get a little steeper. It goes from class 3 to 4, and God, what a beautiful river. Yeah, it was just amazing.
Wow. So, now this is a total curveball. I'm excited. So Slovenia, just a Slovenian guy just won the Tour de France about a week ago. And I'm sure that there was
Roglic and
Tadej Pogačar.
Today. I just call him today.
Today. There you go.
Today.
But the point being that like that had Pogačar. That had to be a moment of real national pride for them. But when the word gets out that they are Dan Gaviria's number one paddling destination, I'm guessing like there's another parade in the works, because that's huge. Now, that is a beautiful river. I've seen a lot of video and pictures of it. It's like crystal clear water, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like crystal clear. And the rapids are pretty manageable, super fun. And there's a couple like pretty crazy little gorges where the whole river goes into this, you know, granite gorge for probably like 400 meters on both the Kuritnica and the Soja River, and they're just amazing. I mean, the river's literally only like maybe 12 feet wide, and at the right level you can paddle through them. It's just beautiful. I posted some shots on my Facebook a couple times, and people are always just like, oh my god, where is this? That looks amazing.
Right,
so
right.
It kind of depends on the water level, obviously, but more and more stand-up paddlers have been discovering it as a really fun stand-up paddle destination. And since it's only I'd say it's probably 3 hours, maybe 4 hours from Munich, it's a pretty easy get to location to, you know, one of the biggest international airports in the world. So flying into Munich and then renting a car and just buzzing straight up to, you know, Kayak Camp Tony and, you know, camping out there, getting a little like a little lodge for the night. It's super affordable. The food is super fresh and healthy, and everyone there can speak pretty good English, definitely better German than I'm going to speak, or French or Italian or whatever. You're just going to find lots of people to paddle with. And it's an unbelievable spot.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So let's give folks a little geography lesson on Slovenia, because I need one. So it was formerly part of the Yugoslavia, correct?
Yep.
And it's exactly. Sort of like a more northern former Yugoslavian republic, right? So it's kind of tucked up in there by, well, you said not far from Germany. So up there in Italy, Austria, that area.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to go from Germany, basically, over into the mountains, you know, from Munich, it's kind of in the flatlands, and you're just going to go over the mountain passes. And as soon as you start getting close to, you know, heading kind of towards France, you know, you could detour a little bit into Slovenia, which is kind of nice because there are some beautiful rivers all around that area of like, Southern Germany, France, Italy, Austria, that whole area. And it's very like the people there, they love rivers, you know? So
right.
Like next to Colorado, I really think that whole area in Europe is the next hot spot for whitewater stuff.
Wow.
Where there's really like a bunch of kayakers getting into it. A bunch of people that are just like, hey, I love whitewater. Kayaking might not be my thing, but this sup thing, I think I can dig it. You know, I don't have to learn how to roll. I can just jump on the board. It's kind of like snowboarding, but down the river, you know? And so it's pretty neat. Like, I'm pretty excited about the growth there of whitewater sup and
oh,
in that
man.
Region.
That I'm so fired up that's your number one destination, because I'm going to do some Googling, some heavy Googling tonight and start planning that adventure, because I don't know that much about that part of Europe, but I did watch the Tour de France, and over the last few weeks, you know, they pushed it to September this year because of COVID, and these two Slovenian guys were 1-2, and I'm going, wait a minute, like, where is that? Is that, I mean, I'm kind of vaguely aware of it, and I know about the Socha, is that, that's the name of the river?
Yep, Socha. It's spelled like S-O-C-A.
Right, and it's just like anyone that paddles whitewater has seen videos or pictures of this incredible, just like crystal clear water with these dripping gorges, and as Dan said, these like these narrow passageways. And I do remember a lot of the photos. You got some incredible photography when you were there, and so man, that's feeling like that might have to be on the that's getting on the short list for the next Harvey family vacation right there.
Yeah, I think you guys would love it. And you know, you can just follow the Socha all the way down to the ocean. And I've seen some photos of kind of some of the lower gorges and where it kind of gets closer to the sea. And I mean, it's beautiful all down there. And God, I'm trying to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Trieste.
Who's going to correct you?
Yeah, someone's going to, but it's beautiful. I mean, that whole area is beautiful. My next destination's definitely going to be Croatia. You know, there's some stuff there that I've heard is unbelievable, especially, you know, on the coastline down there. And, you know, it's not that far from Venice, France, and stuff like that, you know. So definitely when I go to Europe, I, you know, you want to put that on your list, like, you know, for sure hit, you know, your other spots, you know, which are kind of going to be on the list, or they should be, like around Switzerland, you know, places near near Gap in France. Like I said, the southern part of Germany, down near Salzburg, and stuff like that is all getting into the, you know, the base of the Alps. And it's just beautiful rivers with giant mountain peaks in the background. And I would call that whole region like the Rockies of Europe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, wow. So Slovenia to Europe is kind of like what Idaho is to the United States, I'd say.
Wow.
You know, it's not, you know, it's kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but it's nature. It's like, there's no internet. There's no like Wi-Fi out there. You're like camping. You're like there to be on the river and, you know, connect with other people like that. And when you go to the Socha during the paddling season, spring and summer, you're going to meet a ton of people from like Great Britain, Italians, French, German, you know, people coming from like Prague. I met some people from Prague and France. And yeah, it was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, I just had a great time. And they're all super stoked to help you and check out your equipment. And, you know, if you have anything in common, which you do, which is whitewater, SUP, they're just super, super friendly and awesome. So I really had an awesome time. I can't wait to get back.
Well, that's rad, Dan, and that's perfect, because we can all daydream about our next big travel adventure when things clear up and that becomes possible again. And from a guy who's been all over the world paddling, that's a pretty big endorsement, so that's awesome. Well, Dan, thank you so much for that list. That's exciting. I'm going to put the list in the show notes so that you can hunt and search and do a little dreaming about these different spots. What do you got planned for as the fall transitions to winter this year, Dan?
Fall transitions to winter, probably head back to Hood River. I heard it's been raining there, so the white salmon's happening. You know, one of my favorite spots close to home. Kind of one of the reasons why I moved there, and get some runs on the white salmon, and probably pack up my stuff and maybe head to Cocoa Beach or maybe even head somewhere like South Padre or somewhere warm and windy and and salty is I'm thinking for the winter.
Awesome, man. Well, that all that sounds really good. Dan, thanks a lot again for being on today. We really appreciate it. And yeah, man, look forward to the next time we get to actually paddle together.
Hey, thanks. I wish you the best and your family. And please say hi to Miles. And I'm sure he's doing well. I saw a picture of him the other day. He's like he's doubled in size in the last 3 years. So
yeah, he's man-sized.
Yeah, it's cool to see. You know, he's such a little protege. And yeah, I can't wait to be out there. And hopefully we get to play next year at the GoPro Mountain Games.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk soon.
Okay, ciao.
Well, big thank you to Dan Gavir for coming on today and sharing his top five paddling destinations. I know if you're anything like me, you're going to be Googling the Socha River, Slovenia, right after this episode is over. I am absolutely frothing to go check that place out now after spending an hour on Google checking out Slovenia. So here's hoping my USA passport will get me there sometime soon. Thanks again for listening. Really appreciate it. Love to hear from you. info@badfishsup.com. Hope you guys enjoy the fall. We'll talk to you soon.